Hello and welcome to the bi-weekly meeting podcast for the OWASP Top 10 for Large Language Model Applications. If you'd like to stay up to date with our project, please click subscribe. And if you enjoy the content or have any questions, please feel free to comment and share. Now, on to our meeting.
All right, everybody, welcome to the leap year edition of the Top 10 for Large Language Models meeting. Here we are on February 29th of 2024. We actually seem to have a lot to go over today, which is awesome. So I'll kick it off with some updates on how the V2 project is spinning up. And then we do have updates from a number of the project leads that we'll go through. So let's just go ahead and dive in. So after having kicked off the V2 project a month or so ago, we've gone into a brainstorming phase. And most of this has been taking place over on the OWASP Slack instance. In particular, we set up a V2 brainstorming specific channel there. Just by statistics, I went and looked, we had 135 people who joined the channel and 33 people who actually posted into the brainstorming, which I think is a great participation level, especially at this early stage of the product. People posted over 220 Slack messages as part of this and generated a huge number of threads. As a result of it, I thought it was pretty hard to read, and just sending people to tell them go read what was in the brainstorming was going to be pretty hard. So being the good AI user that I am, I copy and pasted the threads one by one out of Slack and into GPT-4 and gave it a prompt asking for some summaries. I think it did an okay job of at least summarizing some of the key things, pulling out some of the verbatims. So I've assembled that in a Google Doc and posted that to the main channel. I would ask everybody, please go take a look at it. The link that is in the channel is set up so that anybody who has that link is enabled as a commenter. So go in, add additional comments. If you're looking at the summary and you want to go deeper into the discussion, that should be pretty easy to map over. Go over to the Slack instance, read the full original thread there to get more details, and then feel free to comment in the Google Doc. We'll use that to drum up kind of a real official summary of the brainstorming phase that we can use to get more people interested. I will post a blog summary of the brainstorming phase. Again, this is a way to get more people interested in what's going on in the project, get people to comment. Got a lot of interest and a lot of hits on the summaries of the surveys that we did to kick off the project. So I think this is a good way to continue to get some new people in, keep the project top of mind for people while we do some really good socialization and level setting on, you know, maybe what's changed in the last 6 months. What are the big trends that's coming? What are people interested in researching? So phase two brainstorming, this will be shorter. The idea will be to take next week. Really encourage people to comment in that Google Doc, any additional comments, and then we'll roll that up and we'll call that the end of the brainstorming phase. So since kicking off the project, we've done an in-depth survey, published results on that. We've done the brainstorming, used some of the results of the survey to seed the brainstorming, and generated a lot of good discussion. So my view on the project post phase two is this will start to coalesce. And for any of you who were here from the beginning on V1, it definitely started slower as well before we really got into the meat of it. And I think that was really, really good. It allowed people to get in, get their feet wet, get their ideas out, and let us get through some of the forming, norming phase before anything got high stakes and people felt like things were getting cast in concrete. So we're going to allow that to play out a little bit more. But post wrapping that up, we have some big things to do to really get V2 out and moving. And so one of the things we're definitely going to be doing is reviewing the team charter. I think producing our charter was really important for V1. That document became foundational, and it actually it wound up settling a lot of disputes about approach in a very neutral, even-handed way, where if we'd reviewed the charter, agreed on what the objectives were, a lot of smaller arguments fell away when we could just point back to the charter and say what we intended to do. So we're going to go ahead and review that. I suspect it does need some updating. The group is larger now and broader now. We have taken on some of these sub-projects like the CISO checklist and others. So we'll definitely be reviewing that. I'm going to be restocking the core team. We have a number of people on the core team who have been consistently involved since V1 or from version 1.1 and continue on being very involved today. We've had others in some key positions who've dropped out, and as a result, there's some vacancies. We've also had some people join in the last few months who seem to be highly informed and motivated and appear to have time to contribute to the project. So I'd love to find official roles for people there. So I will be sending out some ways for people to express interest in joining the core team or rejoining the core team, as it were. Following that, there will be some discussions around the 2.0 roadmap. Again, I think that was one of the secrets to success on 1.0, was coming up with a clear roadmap. We're not going to push as hard and fast as we did on 1.0. That was a bit frantic, but I think we felt the pressure to get out some guidance to the community. This one will go a little bit slower, a little bit more in depth, but I think having that roadmap is going to be key to keeping us on track, setting expectations, and let people know what they're working towards. So once we have that roadmap published, we'll discuss it at one of these meetings, we will ratify it, and then we'll dive in. So I think we've got a little more work to do in March to really set up the underpinnings of the 2.0 project for success. But I do think this puts us in good stead to get something out in the summer to fall timeframe, and we'll see how the group feels about how hard they want to push on that. So I'll just pause here quickly before we get to the lead updates. Any questions or comments on the V2 progress and plans so far? All right. So we did get a lot of input from some of the core team functional leads. So I will flip through the slides here. If these are your slides, speak up. If any of the leads are not here, we will do our best to present on their behalf. Some of them did send updates. Thanks, Fabrizio, for the comment in the chat. Anybody else, feel free to comment in the chat. If you're not feeling like speaking up, that's a good way to get across your ideas as well. So let's dive into the functional lead updates. So PR, I know Aubrey is here, but he came on earlier, said he's double booked with a day job meeting. So I think Aubrey's summary that he and I spoke about on Slack was he has been out of pocket a bit between a day job product launch and a vacation, but he is he's back and really wanting to dive in and help with this. Just on a side note, we were discussing if you round off the number of members on the LinkedIn group now, it says 2K on the website, although when Aubrey looks at the statistics from the inside, it's more like 1,700, but that's still amazing. And that's actually quite a bit of growth in just the last month or two. I think we've been adding people at a rapid clip there. So it's great to see that expanding. So sounds like Aubrey has some things coming up, some interviews and things like that. Going to be pushing more on YouTube and socials. And again, just a reminder for people, if you ever can't make it to this meeting, Abhi records these. He publishes it on a YouTube channel. It's also subscribable as a podcast and other things to make sure you keep up on everything that's going on the meetings. So industry collaboration. Scott joined the group recently, volunteered to take this on, and has been quite active since then. So I asked Scott to give us an update on what's going on, talk a little bit about the objectives here and some of the progress. So Scott, you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, take it away.
Sure. So we wanted to, as Steve mentioned, we're trying to set some goals for industry collaboration. We've had some, just thinking about the LinkedIn success, the amount of engagement we've had has been tremendous. I think one of the things we've learned from many of us who've worked on projects like this in the past is that when we've got success, we want to start planning for our growth and success now and finding our industry partnerships to kind of help that happen. So what I'm doing currently is I'm working across the group, really kind of make sure that we've got a good plan in place, both for industry companies that want to contribute and also working toward partnerships with other organizations to help focus the efforts in these areas, as we know there are so many. So our goals really are around ensuring that the project has the resources it needs, whether it be infrastructure resources, whether it be expertise resources, especially as 2.0 comes along, there will be needs for resources, and to find the right ways to both promote the community efforts as well as, you know, the specification as it kind of moves forward. So we've set these key goals to start to guide the direction as we start to increase our engagement on the industry side. Steve, you want to go to the next slide?
All right. Just let me add one thing here real quick before I turn it back over to you. I just want to double down on what Scott said. You know, often with these open source community driven efforts, there are questions and maybe even resistance to corporate involvement. But I really am seeing the early signs that we need to be proactive about this. And I'll just give you a few examples. More than people know, probably we have been leveraging corporate infrastructure resources from various people who don't know that they're donating to the project. And in some places, we've had members who've been quietly donating their corporation's infrastructure and have been asked to cease and desist on some things, potentially leaving us with a hole and leaving people in an uncomfortable spot with their employer. I think for those kinds of things, we'd much rather have an above board way for that to happen and for them to support the project. We've had other places where, frankly, we've had well-meaning, great people who are involved in the project who have spent their personal funds in some cases. And by the way, this is not me, but other people who have spent considerable money on pieces of the project. A, that's not fair to them. And then B, it leaves us in a weird place where potentially important parts of the project may or may not be owned by the project. And that can get difficult to manage down the road. So it's kind of, we love the intent, but from a durability point of view, it's a challenge. So we do have the advantage of being under the OWASP banner. OWASP is an official nonprofit. It knows how to take in money and dole out money. But I think what we want to do is be able to have kind of our own pool within that OWASP pool that we can draw from to invest in the project's future. So just wanted to highlight that, double down on why we've asked Scott to take this on, because I think we're getting by right now, but the success and interest in this project continues to grow exponentially, and we're rapidly going to get to a place where we're not going to be able to do the things that we want without without operationalizing this. So again, really glad Scott's taking this on. So I'll turn it back over him to work through some parts of what he's doing.
Yeah. And, you know, Steve, I think you've hit it right on the head. That's really sort of the challenge that successful programs face, and it's balancing the individual resources that are being you know, donated by individuals, and that, but making sure that the project itself has some independent sustainability kind of going forward. There's going to be basically four areas that we're working on. One is, of course, making sure that we make the process easy for companies to engage. I'm often having conversations with companies who are saying, I've got resources, where can I engage? What are the projects? And we do have, obviously, the list where people can put their hands up, but especially as we go into 2.0, I think we'd like to be a little bit more proactive, working with the teams to identify where those needs are and be able to direct interested companies to apply the right resources that they have available in that way. So they're getting both the benefit out of it. And also from an organization, we're building more sustainability since we understand what the specific needs are as we go forward. The second part is, as we were talking about, not just the project components that are part of the roadmap, but also some of the infrastructure pieces. What we're doing from a web infrastructure perspective, we have people donating, as Steve mentioned, their personal accounts and corporate accounts to do work. And so we need to look at the other work streams that are part of the overall project and potentially other work streams as we start to work with other projects that we want to help support and fund that are part of the effort. So we need to look at those in terms of understanding the resources, and it just helps our corporate partners, companies, anybody who's looking to, you know, partner and contribute to the community, have a clear way to get on board, know where they can contribute, and for us to kind of have that way to understand, you know, where their needs are, so we can better communicate that. Next piece is, of course, you know, the communicating outbound. So we've had great efforts around reaching out through the industry. Lots of, obviously, you know, posts coming through social media. Aubrey's been doing a great job getting the PR stuff out there. But we also have companies who want to contribute or have the interest in contributing in their own conferences and other activities. So we want to find a way to help, you know, coordinate that and work with them to both, you know, make sure the right resources are available. So if they're looking for experts within the OWASP group, there's an ability for them to do that. And we're able to kind of coordinate that a little bit better. So that's the other piece that we're looking to enable. And then lastly, really looking at recognition, how we're looking to recognize, you know, companies and that contribution. There have been some examples of how other projects have been doing some of this contribution that we're going to learn from and we're going to leverage. So look, in the near term, we'll have a program structure for contributions specific to sponsorship levels and that sort of thing that fall within both the guidelines of OWASP and also make sure that we're adhering to our goals of being a industry, you know, an industry balanced organization. So I think that's an also important piece of what we want to keep. One of the other things we're starting to do to help make communications easier is we have a standardized deck that's being put together. It's in its later phases. We've started to have that together. We've had the slides that have been available specifically for the vulnerabilities. These new slides are also talk about stories so that when we have companies that want to go out and communicate the value proposition and what the project is doing, they'll have a core set of slides they can use to do that. And that'll help us kind of move forward in our communications. We have a roadmap for this. We're looking for feedback as we go through this process, but expect that we'll have this wrapped up within the next week or so with a 1.0 version. And this is always something that's going to iterate over time, but this will be a good piece for us to use also for our corporate partners and ourselves to use for outbound communications. This is just a snapshot where, as Steve mentioned before, we're starting to look at what are the things that the community needs and the project needs to sustain itself long term, to help unburden some of the donations that people have made. So this is an initial draft at that, and we're going to be working over the next few weeks to get that operating budget together. That way we can make that publicly available so that companies know where our needs are for contribution. We're going to be looking at funding as well as contribution in kind. So both those are going to be options for types of contributions that we're looking to help drive this overall budget. But we need to have a starting point. We need to have visibility in terms of what our base costs are to kind of help. And so we'll be putting that operating budget in place. The other piece we started to do is, again, with helping to drive coordination. We've now published a activity calendar on the wiki. As part of that, there are a couple of forms for, this is for anybody within the community. If you have a, if you're speaking at a conference, maybe it's your company's conference, maybe it's a webinar you're doing, maybe it's a podcast, come and register that event here, that outreach event, so that we can help promote that within the broader community. So we've got a form for that you can do, and you also have a new website page that lists all of the activities that are going to be, you know, run from outreach. The other piece we've just added is if you're running an outreach activity and you need an SME from the OWASP group, obviously you may be that person, but also if you are looking for more resources, gives you the ability to request a resource, and we can go back to the community and see if we can find somebody either locally where you are, find someone who's going to be able to support that activity. And then lastly, as I said, our project sponsorship, this is a work in progress. This is our updated sponsorship page. We're going to be having levels for donor and sponsor once we get our budgets in place, so that we've got a very clear way in how companies can contribute. OWASP already has a mechanism today for contribution. For donations, it's just a direct donation from individuals as well as companies. So we do have that link there, so that if you do have funding that you want to promote to the project, go ahead and send a detail to the Slack channel that I've included on this page, as well as you can actually go directly using that link and you can do the contribution, even manage the payment for there. So we have that basic contribution set up today, but there'll be more details around what our sponsorship gives and gets and that sort of thing are going to be going forward.
Right. I think that was the end of Scott's section. Yep. So let me just go back and pause here. Questions or comments for Scott?
Just really appreciate all the work, Scott. I mean, I can't believe how much you've accomplished in 2 weeks.
Thanks, appreciate it.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, let us know when we have, tier levels that we can take back to our organizations. A lot of these things are funded by marketing initiatives and what have you. They like to consume that information in a distinct way. I'm used to sort of providing like conference vendor sort of sheets to marketing departments. If you need some help working on that, I'm familiar in what they're looking for, as well as like from a conference perspective, like building that out. And I'd be glad to help.
Yeah, it'd be great. So it's always great to have more eyes on stuff and more feedback. So I think if you've joined the industry outreach channel, I'll start to push this out there. If you haven't, go ahead and join that. I think you already have, as I recall. But so we already have, you know, ideas around, there's a formula around gold, silver, platinum kind of things that people are familiar with. And so it's figuring out what are the gives and gets that we can offer. A couple of key dependencies we're looking at is what does the website 2.0 look like? So our current website is, you know, primarily what people are looking for is some recognition. There are a number of different vehicles we can use, both through OWASP, but also what we're doing as a project and how we're communicating on our web properties can also be of value. So we have to look at how we can enable that a little bit more in a little bit more streamlined fashion that we currently have with the website. So that's some discussions that we'll have to have as we kind of go forward. But I appreciate the offer of help.
All right. I see Jamie's got a hand up.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there's any sort of generic presentations that we can sort of just pull and present to like our organizations or some meetup groups. It seems like there'd be like an introduction to like what the OWASP group is about, and then also more technical ones. I don't know if there's any interest in that or if they exist already, sort of a generic one we just sort of take and present.
Yeah, Jamie, that's a great point. You know, that's actually the goal of putting that slide deck together earlier. So the slide deck does exist today in a form that allows the talks about the project. It includes things such as the membership, so people can get an idea of the size. So right now, if I remember off the top of my head, we've got like 148 named contributors. We've got 90 companies. We've got 1,000+ people on our Slack. We've got, as Steve mentioned, you know, roughly 2,000 people on the LinkedIn. It provides some places where we are talking and collaborating with other industries. So that's really what this overview deck is designed to do. I expect that we'll have a version, right now is in review. I would like to get a version out for everybody by the end of next week.
Cool. Just one other note on the, you know, if you want slides to present to a technical audience, as opposed to, you know, Scott's initial efforts here have been focused on sort of what is the project, obviously for generating interest. There is a version of the PDF that is formatted as slides rather than as the full document. You can get that off the main site. The link is right next to the main document.
Yep.
But one thing I will say, the one that we have there is beautiful. It is also suffering from some of the things that we talked about earlier, that it is trapped in a very specific high-end graphic designer tool to which we don't have a number of accounts and to which a lot of people can't contribute. So it's easy to download that PDF. It's hard to update it. So I think it might be a great sub project to spin up to kind of take what Scott's done, extend it beyond just the about the project pieces, have people contribute, you know, a few slides on each vulnerability or overview things. So if people are interested in that, let's see if we can assemble that. I think several of us have decks, that we've crafted one way or another. So I think if we put our head together, we could build that out pretty quickly, and it might be a great resource for the community.
Yeah. The deck that we have together, that we put together, is two parts to it. The first part is, as Steve was mentioning, about sort of the industry, the project, the why, the outcomes. The second part of the deck, I've taken the trapped slides and made them untrapped. So they are editable, and there are some, if you look at the draft document, there's some asks to start to create some sub slides, because I think those are good summary, but we need some more specific technical examples around how each of those vulnerabilities plays out. And I think there's an opportunity to kind of build out on that, as Steve was saying. So we've got one deck that people can refer to that has both an introductory kind of story and background, and the whys, but then also you can drill down directly into the what, and provide those examples. So, I mean, if you went to the deck, I think it'll link right now, you could see that the that's there today with some notes to add some slides. So that's one of the areas we have some feedback on. So it'd be great to start to get some feedback on that second half of the deck. One thing I am working to put together also is a view toward what OWASP, you know, does overall toward the AI. So the fit for the AI project within the other contributions, so that we have a broad, you know, more cohesive view on what we're helping bring to market as both the OWASP organization and also what the LLMAI project is doing. So working with Rob and a few other folks to try to, and John, to kind of pull some of that stuff together. So I hate to use the word because I don't like it, which is marketecture, some sort of architecture, being a technical guy, marketecture, you know, it's not all that great. But, you know, that's the intent, so that we can kind of see where we fit and how we fit around that, plus the open source projects that can help facilitate things for organizations, for the different named vulnerabilities or risks as we come out of the next version of the 2.0. So
cool. All right, moving on. I think this is ad slide. Ads, yeah, out there.
Yeah, sorry, it is. I apologize. Yeah, I just wanted to note a couple of things. LM03 is now data and model poisoning. We had a vote. There was some GitHub issues. I put most of PR to fix that the other day. So just to highlight to everyone that that is probably the most significant change we've had at V2 so far. Personally myself, I've been working through the GitHub issues that we have in our backlog and hoping the rest of the leads can also do the same. And also I've been working to integrate LLM applications into the ASVS, which is the Application Security Verification Standard. For those of you who aren't aware, it's a great resource. It's more aimed at like developers, and instead of being like a top 10, it's more like a how to. So it has like sections on like session tokens, session management, like HTTP headers. Basically, it's aimed at developers who are building web applications. And I've been trying hard to kind of merge our LM application space into that as well, which is just another good kind of fork within OWASP we're reaching out to.
Awesome.
That's great.
Questions for ads?
No, that's great. I think that just adds, as you get further down that path, that might be something we want to look at in that second part of the deck to provide some more specific guidance to get more, a little more technical. So we're referring back to some verification that they can also refer to.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Still in talks and progress at the moment. So.
Yeah. I think there's a larger thing that we have with all the outreach that the group has been doing, including what Ads just mentioned, and then what John and Sandy have been doing. Somewhere we've got to create the map of all of the other standards that we're touching and contributing to. I think that feeds into Scott's work, but I think it's also just really good for us to see the breadth of impact that we're having and where are these discussions going on and kind of who's managing them. And we have some rather big ones coming up with some of the things that we've done, like joining NIST and things. Maybe John will mention that a little bit later on, but keeping track of that's going to be important. I'm not sure whose slide this is. Who put this one in?
Sandy, sorry.
All right.
I should have added that. So okay. This is this is a little bit about what you and I discussed, Steve, which Pri goes by Yoda on the Slack channel, but she is going to start keeping track of the different places, the key areas or publications, sites, PDFs that mention the OWASP top 10, as well as the AI exchange. So she's doing it for both projects. And of course, anyone who notices where we're referenced in a by some big website or something, please send it to Pri or myself. And what the plan is we'll start tracking those and then share them with the project lead and with Scott, and then create a wiki page where we can start showing the impact that this project is having out in the industry. The other person I met with this week was Arnav. He and I brainstormed on some different layer areas. So just like Ad said about the ASVS, one of the ideas we had was actually adding the ZAP tool. The OWASP ZAP tool has had a plan to actually test for some of the issues that you find with top 10, the LLM top 10. And so he's going to look at that. I don't know, Arnav, are you on the phone? Oh, he was going to try and make it today. So just a little bit of some of the other work that's going on that's happening because of the project.
Awesome. Well, hey, welcome to these two new joiners. Glad to have you. And Sandy, this is definitely you. So,
yeah, this is definitely me. So just, already starting to talk about the next version of the checklist. Incredibly well received, lots of ideas. I'm already getting feedback. I've shared a new document for ideas. But a lot of what I see for the 2.0 version will be dependent on what we plan for the 2.0 version of the LLM top 10. One thing about this project, and I don't know if we've talked about it in a meeting, Steve, but just the benefit of what we're calling layers, you know, so not just the top 10, but things like what Ads talked about with, you know, being able to show how it contributes to other projects or coming up with your, you know, something else that is a supplement to the OWASP top 10, just incredibly well received. So if you have ideas around that, please definitely propose them.
Yeah, and Sandy, this is Scott speaking. It would be great to also include that as we're kind of coming up with that kind of that layer kind of view so that we can map that together. So yeah, that's awesome.
Awesome. That's it for me.
All right. Is this also you, Sandy, or who's is this?
Nope. This is Emmanuel.
This is me. This is me. Good morning. On data gathering, I've been working on some diagrams to help visualize what we're trying to do. I'm also just started working on a list of 100 unique vulnerabilities to expand on what we do on the list, just to try to gather everything in one place for new things that are popping out in the wild. I think that's the idea with this list that I'm also doing. I saw the need to expand a little bit. Some will be speculative. Example, when quantum computing comes associated with AI. So what's the new risks, possible risks that we can find as well? I think that can be valuable. And I'm cracking my head on some Python code for data validation with the mapping that I've done. So I just want also to commend and hats off to Scott. Great work. I added the speaking engagement that I did yesterday with a college that has students Canada-wide. So great work there. And that's what we're trying to do at Data Gathering. Please come join us and also help out. There's tons to do. Thank you.
Questions for Manuel.
With regards to the vulnerability list, I'm wondering, I imagine, for example, that MITRE with CVEs or CWEs, they have a lot of resources to manage such a list traditionally. And then if you're going to be managing this list for LLMs, it sounds quite challenging to maintain such a list over time. So I'm just curious if that's the goal.
That's a great question, Anthony. It's the same with the literature reveal. Periodically, it will have to be revised and updated. I agree it's going to be quite challenging, but it got to start somewhere, and I'm up for the task. I'll try to give my best. So if anyone has some ideas on how we could maybe automate that, that'll be great. And just my humble effort to get that out.
I'll just add a couple thoughts. When I came up with this idea and put it out to the group, and then Emmanuel volunteered to take it on, I really don't see us trying to become the CVE database for AI on the web. I don't think that's the project that we're doing here. I think the fundamental goal that I have for this is to have us have some data that is underpinning the 2.0 version of the list. We tried to make 1.0 as data-driven as we could, but the only data that we had was expert opinions. So we did a lot of surveys and a lot of scoring. And I think that suited the project well at the time. There was so little data out there. I think there's more data now. So us having an underpinning, having some data, my first and foremost goal for this is to inform the 2.0 version of the list and to be able to show people maybe more of what we've brought into the rankings beyond just expert opinion, although I expect us to still lean a lot on the expert team that we have here, because this is evolving so quickly that just looking backwards at existing vulnerabilities and incidents isn't going to do it. So I think part of the moving to the next phase on the 2.0 project as we spin this up is getting more people involved in this data gathering methodology piece with Emmanuel, looking at what that looks like and starting to talk about how we're going to digest it ourselves primarily first. And then I know a number of you on this call have been working with Emmanuel and working across with some of these other groups that have their own kind of rankings and databases of vulnerabilities. And so we've got to figure out how to cross-reference that. We're also not going to be the primary data gathering source for this. So I think what we need to have is our own opinion about what are the valid and useful data sources. How are we going to map that in some way that we can use it ourselves? And then as a, you know, as a side effect, if we come up with mappings and things like that that are really, really genuinely useful, I think we can work to push those back to the kinds of groups that specialize in doing that heavy lifting, and whether it's the MITRES or other things like that, where we already seem to be developing great relationships. So just putting that out there is what I see as the goal for this. We may get payoffs in a lot of different ways, some of them even unexpected. But first and foremost, I want to make sure that now that we've got this base to build on, and now that we've launched 2.0, one of the tasks over the next month or two is really going to be to figure out how do we take what we have here and how do we start to channel it towards a very specific use of helping us rate and rank the risks for the 2.0 list.
Yeah, I just want to add. Sense. Yeah, I completely not trying to do what the big corporations do. The idea is just to create something that is easy to navigate and easy to find and add value. That's the end result here is just try to add value. And yes, Sandy has contributed that I want to close them because they've made a great effort, and we had many aha moments when we were discussing. It's a work in progress, and there's lots to do. And just on this group.
Emmanuel, sorry to bother you. I think I don't know if it's just me, but you're already cutting out. But is it just me or
no? I think Emmanuel's connection is a little unstable. So, what I'll offer up, Emmanuel, is if you're up for it next time, maybe we can spend 10 minutes of the next meeting getting a little more in-depth update on what you're putting together so people can see it. And then I'll just offer up to anybody on the group here or who's watching the recording, if you're interested in the interim and getting a better look at this, Emmanuel has a dedicated Slack channel on the OWASP Slack for the data gathering project. So it's likely called something like team-llm-data-gathering. So go dive in there, see what's going on, make suggestions, discuss, and then we'll make this a subtopic on the next meeting. All right, that finishes the official updates from the team leads. I see John raising his hand, though.
Apologies, I completely forgotten about that meeting, and despite Ad saying, oh, you need to join this meeting, so I can give a quick update. I think I really like actually the Python code that Emmanuel has there. From, you know, that layer thing, the understanding, making concrete, instead of just talking about vulnerabilities that, you know, it's kind of difficult to explain. In terms of alignment, I completely agree that we need to start mapping those things and maybe visualize them. And I don't know what, Scott, you described earlier, maybe, you know, something that we can work together on, visualize some of the relationships we have. there is a new project in OWASP that's very early days that's called the LLM verification standard. I don't know if you have covered that in the call, Steve.
We have not. Feel free to mention it.
Yeah, so I think, you know, I think that's something that actually occupied some of our discussions. I think finding a way to bring, you know, what motivates me is that what we bring out is useful to people. And I think sometimes, you know, I'm against Babel of standards. So I want to see alignment. Of course, the answer isn't to stop projects. The answer is to map and carry on engagement. So I reached out to Verdana, who is one of the co-leaders of the project, and I joined that project. So I think maybe next, in the next call, maybe we can do, there is already a 0.1 draft of that. Maybe we can talk about cross-referencing with LLM, and maybe I can take that as an action myself. So that's one part of it. And I think we'll see, you know, this area, everyone is interested and everyone wants to create their own contribution. Maybe sometimes it doesn't fit within the groups in a neat way that we wanted to see them. So we need to constantly reformulate this map of what's happening around us and how it relates to that and influence that so that, you know, the end customer, our users, benefit. AI Safety Institute's consortium, those of you who completed your questionnaire should be started receiving now the calls, the invites to Slack. I don't know if any of you guys have received. If not, escalate and I will chase it. I received mine today. Oh, okay.
I've received mine as well. Yeah.
All right, I'll go look.
Fantastic. And if not, you know, just escalate. I think Scott, you know, it's great that you're having your calls, but I think, you know, there is a kind of an increasing number of calls. So I will not set up a different call on this. Maybe, Steve, you will be gracious to give 10 minutes of the next call again for us to cover that and see.
What, great.
Yeah. And that's it. You know, I think we're in a good place. Yesterday, I went to an AI event in Wales and the UK. Hiram was there from Robust Intelligence. Peter Garrigan, who wrote this paper about model leaching, which vindicates actually what we did in the summer, that we talked about replication, and that's what he proves quite a bit. So well done, everyone. And they praise this, they, you know, OWASP in general is treated, you know, particularly the top 10 for LLM is treated, you know, many people came and talked to me. So, you know, well done to everyone there again. I will carry on doing this, and I know I'm quite unstructured, so I will rely on Scott to make sure that all this fits into the how we track those things. And then I would like to also reboot the effort on supply chain that I led last time, and I'd like to lead again. And we have the plugins that I propose that we actually rename them to agents, autonomous agents, and we look at what that means for us. And that was my lengthy update. Any questions?
Sounds like great stuff.
I love Marcelino's, whoever Marcelino is, I love his picture with the kind of the, sorry about that.
All right. Anybody else have an update they want to give today?
Not an update, Steve. I do have a question for John, if that's all right. So I've got a few security engineers in my company actually who are interested in verification standards for this kind of stuff. How do we get more involved with that? How can we become contributors?
I think I will send you the details and they can join. And there is a 0.1, and everyone actually, I will share that on the LLM top 10. There is a 0.1. It seems like joined work, some the finer minds of Lakera and Sneak there. Let's review it, all of us. I shouldn't be a broken phone. Let's review it, all of us, and let's kind of provide that feedback.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Great. Anyone else?
Anthony, is that an old hand or a new hand for me?
No, it's an old hand. I've got two questions. The first is for ads. I missed the very first sentence or so of his presentation. So I'm trying to understand the LLM number 3, training data poisoning. Am I understanding correctly that that will be imminently renamed to training data poisoning and model poisoning? It's like conflated as one, or am I misunderstanding what was mentioned at that time?
Yeah. If anything, it's clarification. It doesn't remove the fact that training data poisoning is a vulnerability, but we have tried to highlight additional vectors by renaming it to data and model poisoning because it's not specifically related just to pre-training or training. So yeah, it's just literally a naming convention change because a lot of people were kind of deep diving more on training data rather than looking at like other vectors that could be compromised from like, you know, actually the actual other parts of data and the actual models themselves.
Okay. So, I mean, if it mentions model poisoning, there's other types of model poisoning, I think, other than using malicious training data. So I guess maybe offline I'll chat with you.
Correct. That. Yeah. That's the exact intention of just renaming the vulnerability to cater for those other sub like exploits, for example.
I guess what I'm getting at is if you rename it, then you would need to change the description also, not just change the title. If you change the title, it has a bigger scope. But
correct, yeah, which is in yeah, progress, okay. Yeah.
Okay, so that will be reflected in like 1.2 or something like that, or is it already?
So we're working.
Let's talk process for a second, because I think what ads and a few of the other entry leads are doing is great, which is they have existing expert groups on the existing vulnerabilities and they're pushing forward on sort of the research and thinking on those, and they should be doing that. But we don't have plans for a 1.2 ever. I think we're focused on 2.0. And 2.0, as I mentioned at the top, we're going to have a pretty extensive process that will be in some ways similar to what we did with 1.0, which will have multiple rounds of, you know, we will go out and we will seek new vulnerabilities and there will be rounds of voting. And then we will be hopefully this time stacking data from Emmanuel's project on top of it and doing all sorts of things. So I think this is all in the name of pushing forward on research, and, you know, the leads that we have on these can rename them, move them around, guide their teams. But what actually goes in the 2.0 version of the list, we got months of work ahead of us.
Okay, thank you. I was confused about the process. So the second question, which is totally unrelated, is the top 10 list is for LLMs, and clearly there's other modalities beyond LLMs within Gen AI, but I know LLMs are the most prominent for sure. Is the idea that long-term, this will remain long-term just LLM related, or is there any possibility that it will be broadened to Gen AI more?
Can I real quick?
Go ahead, Ed.
I'm sorry, I've been patient. So yeah, this is LM applications. Just a comment in there, which is one thing that a lot of people may sometimes miss, and it is one thing that I hate about our site. This is LM specific, just due to like how LLMs themselves have been revolutionary across the past like year or so when it comes to like generative AI. But at the moment, yeah, it's just LLM applications.
What I'll add is in the survey and the brainstorming, we've had some very specific questions and discussion around multimodal. I think there's honestly, it's going to become really unclear the difference between a large language model that only works on text and a large language model that is the front end of an image generator or a video generator. And all of the LLMs seem to be moving in a way that they can read text out of images and videos. And so there's going to be some bleed over. And when I talked at the top about us going and looking at the charter and reevaluating it, I think there's a healthy debate for the group to have to look at the language around large language models, multimodal models, generative AI models. I don't think we've nailed that down. I don't think we've had that debate yet. And I want the group to have that debate. So if you do go look at the summaries from the brainstorming, which, as I mentioned at the top, is everybody's homework, is go take a look at that. contribute to the discussion, put some comments in the brainstorming summary document. And when we do get to reviewing the charter, I expect violent debates on the topic.
Do you mind if I add a little bit of thinking on this? So I think, you know, when we talked about generative AI, I understand why people don't want to expand, because, you know, you wouldn't want to go into GANs and all that kind of ML trickery. You have a very neat model with LLMs where, you know, you have the API and everything makes it easier. The challenge I see as, and everyone else, is if I'm building an application and I have an OpenAI API that does the LLM to produce text, then I just change it to produce these new APIs that produce images instead of kind of text. Why would that be such a different thing? You know, it's still an LLM. It's just kind of a different way of processing inputs and outputs. So that's why I think we need to think not so much are we becoming the generative AI thing, but is this paradigm of LLMs actually encompassing more and more things?
I think it's a great thought, and I'm going to throw a flag and say you're early. Go have that debate when we get there. So,
okay. Should I mention stating a fact
that that debate is coming, and y'all should all be ready for it.
I got too excited. I'll stop.
Yeah. Should I mention small language models too? And that.
Yeah. good debates.
Yep.
I think this is part of it, is the terminology here is moving really fast. We have people calling things small language models that would have been very large language models 18 months ago.
Yes.
We have multimodal models. We have agents. Boy, if you want to go see a debate, go look at the 30 messages posted on what is an agent. All this terminology is going to be some of the fun for us to define, and actually nailing down some of this terminology early will lubricate the rest of the production of the 2.0 list. So we are out of time. It is 9:00. This has been one of the most engaging and interactive meetings that we've had lately. So thanks everybody for jumping in. We will let you all go. And if you are watching on the YouTube or the podcast, thanks for joining us. And we'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Thanks for checking out our bi-weekly meeting podcast. If you'd like to stay up to date on all of the latest news for the OWASP Top 10 for Large Language Model Applications, please click subscribe. And of course, we'd appreciate it if you'd share with a friend to grow our community. We'll see you in 2 weeks.